Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Like so many fathers being celebrated this weekend, Lieutenant Colonel Donald C. Lundquist served his country in battle. In 1967, the Army assigned Don executive officer of a squadron protecting a jet fighter base at Chui Lai from Viet Cong. Don found a novel way to stay in touch with his wife, Ruth, and young daughter, Jackie, living with Ruth's parents in Germany.
Surprise, surprise. Here's your big daddy and your old buck. And you're loving Don. This is a new way to tell you in my own way what's going on here and for me to hear you and to hear Jackie.
Jackie is Jacqueline Lundquist, now Vice President of Water Health, which delivers clean water to the developing world. She doesn't remember her father, who died shortly after returning from Vietnam. She came to know him through more than 300 letters and hours of audio tapes recorded in his hooch in Chui Lai. For nearly 30 years, those pieces of his life were stored in a box, unopened, painful reminders of loss. I met Jackie at a recent dinner in Washington where she told me the story, which is the subject of her new book, Letters from Vietnam, A Daughter's Search for Her Father. I was intrigued by the idea of a memoir of a relationship with a father she never really knew. And Jacqueline Lundquist joins us now from, no kidding, a dude ranch. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning to you.
So that box of letters and tapes was given to you by your mother years ago, yet you never opened it. So what made you finally decide to do it?
You know, I think I was 13 or so when she gave me those letters, and I bought a beautiful box, and I put the letters in there without reading a single one and took it with me from life to college to high school to marriage to divorce, and still wasn't ready to face this loss until I was about to, as I say, get a net gain, and I was 7 months pregnant with my son, and I sat down this one beautiful summer weekend 15 years ago now and got to know him.
What happened when you heard that first tape or read that first letter? We heard a little bit of the first tape in the introduction, actually.
Right. Well, I was so thrilled to hear his voice because I thought maybe I would recognize it. I was 3 when he left for Vietnam and just had turned 5 when he came back and died. So I listened to the tape, and I was intrigued by the voice. His accent is kind of strange for a guy who was born in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
But I did not recognize it until he turned the tape over and started talking to me, and I only spoke German at the time, so his voice was different, his cadence, his tone, and obviously when you talk to a child, you speak completely differently, and there and then I recognized that beautiful sound of my father's voice.
Let's just hear a little of that, Dad talking to little Jackie in German.
Hi, Jackie. Come here, Stinky. Mommy had to mir geschrieben, dass du verstehst Englisch, aber du sprichst nur Deutsch. Do you understand your daddy now?
He died when you were just 5. How'd he die?
You know, he was a battalion commander in Germany. He was offered President Nixon offered him his staff aide at the White House, but he was a soldier, so he chose to have his own battalion in Germany. He was on his way for 2 days of maneuvers, basically inspections in the field with his men. And he flew off one morning in a helicopter. My mom and I watched him leave. And later that afternoon, he was walking across the marching field and just dropped dead of a heart attack. He said to his assistant, his last words were, "Anderson, I'm hurt real bad."
And yet you don't actually have any memory of him. What kind of picture did you have of him when you were growing up? What did other people tell you?
Oh, you know, he was just like me. He was the life of the party. He told the bawdiest jokes. He was the man with a plan. He was the entertainer. I mean, honestly, he was wearing the lampshade at the end of the evening. He lived hard. He loved hard. He drank. He smoked. He was just, and he was just a lover of people and collected friends, as I do.
I see that very much in his letters. He writes very affectionately about his friends and, a few gags, naming the little post at Chui Lai Fat City, for example. So what is it like for you, Jackie, the adult? Now, you're now the wife of a former ambassador to India. You were a reporter for CBS, now VP of a company delivering clean water all over the world, all very grown-up things. What's it like listening to yourself being addressed as a little girl?
Well, you know, we never really grow up, do we, when we're around our parents? So, I am stuck with him, I guess, in that 5-year-old place. And, I have his his tapes on my phone. And occasionally when I'm running or whatever, I'll put it on shuffle. And all of a sudden his voice will come on.
Wow.
And it just stops me in my tracks every time. But it just is so wonderful to have that.
So devoted, very sweet, very loving. Here he is on a tape wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Santa Claus, Nikolaus, Jacqueline. Was bist du ein schönes Mädchen? Das freut mir. Ich sag alles zu deinem Daddy. Oh, Jackie.
That's at the beginning of the tape. By the end, though, we begin to hear a kind of weariness, a kind of sadness. And I think, I don't speak German, but I think he's saying that he's sitting there with a schnapps thinking of his family. Let's hear it.
Nimmt ein Glas, hab Schnaps mit mir und ich prost dir alle, meine Family. Ich liebe dich alle und wünsche einen wunderschönen heiligen Abend. Prost.
So what I hear and read in these letters is, a man, he's showing up, he's providing, he's trying to share with his family, but it sounds like he so wants to connect and be a part of you. What do you think this was providing for him, these letters?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of veterans groups about PTSD, and, you know, for my father writing these letters, and then on top of that, after sealing the envelope and then opening up the box and recording, was just therapeutic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could talk. He, you know, I think you mentioned this too. I mean, he says a lot more on the tapes than he writes in the letters about what's going on in Vietnam and how he feels. So, you know, this was therapy for him, but we were the lucky beneficiaries on the other end.
He signs them off, your Don, your Daddy, or Big Daddy, really loving, sweet, sometimes very intimate to your mother, I must say, but conscious of kind of dividing attention between the two of you. I wonder about your mom. Did she ever remarry?
She did not. She says that in 9 years of a relationship with him, she had it all, so why should she try to find something else?
You, after making this discovery, you and hearing about, you know, we hear the quotidian, the kind of driving rain, the sorties, the wounded, some of his thrills and some of his not-so-thrilling moments. And you, Jackie, went back to Vietnam to trace his steps that was so well-documented in his letters. You could basically follow them, photos, maps. What did you find there?
Well, I didn't know what I was looking for, and I say that in a book. I'm such the planner, but I got to Vietnam, I was just going to let kind of serendipity guide me, and I think that's so important. So armed with photographs, I just met a driver randomly at Da Nang at the airport who had been a driver for the military. His father had been a driver for the military. And I found some tour guides who wanted so desperately to help me find this because honoring your ancestors, of course, is big in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove all over around. I mean, they were sleuth-like in their determination to help me find him. And we found this woman who, lo and behold, had worked for the Americans. Her husband had done their laundry, and she knew exactly where Fat City was, where the sign was, where I have that picture of him standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we made our way there one blustery day. It was just spectacular, and I really felt him and his presence.
In fact, you started writing letters to him at that time. So what was behind that for you?
Well, I wanted a way to document my travels, and I figured the best way to do that would be to write him letters. I wasn't around, you know, he wasn't around anymore, so I figured why not write these into the ozone and see what happens. So I wrote him a series of 10 letters, spent 10 days there retracing his footsteps, and it was really a beautiful and cathartic experience for me.
So you don't write letters anymore. Do you feel like you just kind of close that chapter?
Absolutely done.
Mm. Well, your mom and dad nearly tossed those letters out, all of this, when he got back from Vietnam. Knowing what you know now, what would we be missing from your life, not having any presence of him?
Yeah, I mean, that was their game. They said to each other, well, I'll throw them away if you throw them away. He's like, well, I'm not going to throw the ones you wrote me. Well, then I won't throw the ones you wrote me away.
Mm.
So, I have them both, and I have all the tapes even of me as a little girl. Yeah, but it's so important to have these. I mean, President Clinton was kind enough to write the remarks for the book, and he says, you know, to have a documentary of love and of travel and of a relationship is so important. We don't have that anymore with emails and texts.
I wonder what your impression was in Vietnam. You know, some of the grisly things you saw, they were selling on the streets, souvenirs, you know, dog tags, watches, lighters left behind by soldiers. What else did you see there?
You know, that was chilling. We went to Cu Chi that second day we were in Saigon and walked around, and I went underneath and I dug in those tunnels where the North Vietnamese had, you know, strategized on how they were going to take over that part of the world. And so I went in every single tunnel and I crawled, even though it was so incredibly uncomfortable and scary, just because I wanted to feel a little bit of the fear that my dad felt. And on the way back into the city, there was a motorcycle accident that had just happened, and these two young Vietnamese boys lay dead on the ground in front of me. And it was just a chilling reminder, even though this is such a peaceful, beautiful place now, it was just a bit of a reminiscent back to a war that, you know, we fought for no reason so many years before.
I got to say, Jackie, I smell movie on this one.
Yes, thank you. I've already in talks with a few people. I've had a meetings with a great producer and a script writer, and even bumped into Jake Gyllenhaal, who is taking a read now. So we'll see what happens. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and happy Father's Day to you.
Aw, thank you, Virginia.
I wrote my baby from Vietnam, and this is what I said.
Jacqueline Lundquist is author of two books, a children's book with her son, and a new memoir, Letters from Vietnam, A Daughter's Search for Her Father, written by her and the letters and memories of her dad, Lieutenant Colonel Donald C. Lundquist. She has her own decorated CV as an entertainment reporter for CBS News, First Lady of the U.S. in India during the Clinton administration, and she's currently Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Water Health, which delivers clean water to the developing world. There's much more on her and the book at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, artisanal video games. Really? That's when Word of Mouth continues.